In 2014, Markham's Jennifer Penn was found guilty of both first-degree murder and the attempted murder for her role in an incident 4 years prior that left her mother dead and her father with a critical head wound. The story shook the city while making international headlines, and today it gets a documentary treatment. Here's a bit of the trailer.
A woman is dead and her husband injured after a home invasion in Markham.
There was a knock at the door, then three gunmen burst inside.
They dragged me down the stairs, and then I heard two pops.
We don't get a lot of homicides in Markham, so it's like a grenade going off.
Investigators are not ruling out any scenario, including the possibility the men broke into the wrong home.
We're only going to have one witness, and that is the daughter, Jennifer Penn. Why would you leave a surviving witness? It doesn't make sense. Something's not right about this. Now, I want to know everything about her. The Pan family were fairly normal, but outward appearances are one thing. What actually happens inside the house are completely different.
There was just so much expectation. So I like.
Jeremy Grimaldi is the film's executive producer, and Paul Nguyen is a co-producer on What Jennifer Did, which is streaming now on Netflix. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Now, Jeremy, you were covering this as a crime reporter in Markham at the time. You wrote a book about the case. Now, for those who don't remember, what exactly happened here?
Well, Jennifer Penn was found tied up to a banister by police. She gave an interrogation. I mean, the public didn't know this at the time, but gave an interrogation playing a victim. 2 weeks after that, she was charged with her mother's murder and the attempted murder of her father, who miraculously survived. It shook the city, as you mentioned. It scared a lot of people because it appeared to be random when it first went down. And then when there was a reversal in that sort of intelligence, it made a lot of people wonder, what did this girl do?
And who is this girl? Who is Jennifer Penn? What do we know about her?
She's a sort of an enigma in many ways. She was a straight-A student, a figure skater, a piano player, a very high level, wanted to go to the Olympics for figure skating. Almost became the valedictorian at her grade school. In high school, things changed. She got a boyfriend. She stopped caring about school so much. She didn't pass high school and forged documents to pretend she was in university. All the while, she was living with her boyfriend at her boyfriend's home. She was eventually caught by her father and given a strict ultimatum. Either the family or your boyfriend. She chose the family and was eventually found to have conspired to have men break into her home, pretend it was a home invasion, kill her parents and her mother. And that was recently overturned on appeal, not because of the substance of the case, but minor details in the way the judge passed on the verdict to the jury. So it's currently now being considered for verdict by the Supreme Court, and this is where we are.
Paul, when this story came out, I mean, the family here, like yourself, is Vietnamese. What do you remember about the conversations that were happening in your community when the story broke?
Well, it was a big shock, obviously to the community, especially to the Vietnamese community. We had terms of, like, tiger parenting being bandied about, but for us, me being a Vietnamese person, my parents were Bo Peep as well, tiger parenting is just regular parenting. But it was a shock to see that someone can be pushed to the edge to, get involved in this kind of situation.
And when you got involved with this project, what were some of the conversations that you were kind of grappling with?
I think 2 years ago, the director, Jenny Popowell, reached out to me, and, she wanted to make sure that she captured all the correct nuances. And to also bring a different lens to the project. So I think they did a lot of research and spent a lot of time to make sure they got things right. And I helped them gain access to the Vietnamese community.
What were some of those nuances that you brought to this?
Well, especially the cultural nuances, and kind of staying away from stereotypes and stuff. So, you know, I helped them understand how the community kind of operates. The Vietnamese community is actually very tight-knit and tight-lipped community. And, you know, it was very challenging to get access to certain people.
Hmm. Now, Jeremy, the film constantly comes back to Jennifer's interviews with investigators. We hear what she told them, what changed. We learn about her body language and what that indicated from the investigators. What did you learn from that footage?
Well, first of all, I learned a lot about how police work in interrogations, which is not how the public may perceive it. Police are allowed to lie. And that's been stamped by the Supreme Court. So when you watch the interrogations, it's very interesting how police put pressure on both victims and suspects. And it's called the Reed technique, and it has a number of aspects. What you learn about Jennifer is that she's very adept at fooling people because she's lying basically from the start about everything, and she's quite good at it.
And when you were covering this case, were you clued into that? Like when you were hearing what she had to say, when you were hearing this story as it was breaking in front of you?
Yes, I was indeed. Because she was charged 2 weeks after the initial incident and her father survived, the indication was that her father was going to testify from the beginning of the trial. And so we all kind of knew, we were all waiting for that moment when he walked in the courtroom. And I tell you, it was very dramatic.
Yeah, tell me about the father and the role he played in this.
Well, in many ways, the father, Han Pan, could be considered a scapegoat in many ways, because we don't have any evidence of the role the mother, Big Pan, played in raising Jennifer. I mean, you know, Jennifer's talked a lot about her family life, but she's an unreliable narrator, so we don't really know what happened in that home. But we do know that Jennifer laid a lot of the blame at Han's feet, but we don't know how accurate that is.
Why did you want to tell this story? I mean, you covered it. There were so many twists and turns, as I saw in the documentary, but with the devastating outcome here, why was this important for you to tell this story?
Without sounding too crass, it was just the craziest story I've ever come across. I truly believe it's the most unbelievable true crime story out there. There's so many twists and turns, and it's very layered in its detail. And Jennifer is also just a fascinating character. Just the single fact that she's a female, and she was convicted of murder, although that was overturned, it is in itself quite fascinating, because as we know, a large majority of murders are men.
When it comes to the story that people saw in the headlines playing out and the story you're trying to tell here, how does this documentary push that forward?
Well, it brings out, I think, a lot of the mental health challenges that the case involved. So when it was first told through the newspapers, a lot of people came out with the idea that Jennifer was the daughter from hell, which is an easy way to perceive it. Now, looking back on the story, we're able to view it in a different lens, in a more nuanced way. I mean, nothing's an excuse for murder, but I believe at the end of the documentary, people may be conflicted with her story, and it's not just so one-sided.
Were you conflicted in your coverage of the story?
I was conflicted in many ways, because I always believe that there's two sides to the story, and if we really are products of our environment, she was raised in that household. I tried my damnedest in my book to tell the story right down the line. And I'm still learning stuff about Jennifer day after day. She's, as I said, an enigma, and very interesting, and, you know, some may say evil, but again, I'm always looking for feedback, because I'm still trying to understand her myself.
Mm-hmm. Paul, you talked about how the Vietnamese community can be tight-lipped. When this documentary was being made, when you were engaging with the community, what were some of the conversations you were having? How are they feeling about a creation of retelling the story?
Well, you know, I was doing my research and reaching out to people that were connected. I was actually surprised that many people that I knew in my life were directly connected to Jennifer. For example, I had a Vietnamese teacher who taught me Vietnamese in school when I was 10 years old, and she knew Jennifer and her family. So it was quite a surprise. In the Vietnamese community, I think it's still a very shocking story. Because the parents, you know, they're coming here, especially if they're both people, refugees, and they come to Canada. They're working hard to try to make a better life. And for that, they push their children to succeed because they want their children to have a great opportunity in this land. So I think from what we hear, you know, parents pushing their children is nothing new. And at the same time, from the parents' point of view, they're like, you guys should be grateful. We risk our lives to come here and provide you with the education and shelter and everything. And something like this happens is not right. It shouldn't happen.
It's a fascinating story. Jeremy and Paul, thanks so much for sharing with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ram.
Jeremy Grimaldi is the executive producer of the documentary What Jennifer Did, and Paul Nguyen is a co-producer on the film. It's out on Netflix today.